All right, thank you, ladies. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans this morning. We're going to start a lesson. We may not be able to finish it. I've been trying to do some individual studies for years here. Went through many, many books in the Bible, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and I still somewhat prefer that, but since Stephen's been with us here the last 3 or 4 years, we both kind of picked out a different study and done it here in the adult class. Like for you to bring your Bibles. We do a strange thing here at Landmark. We use our Bibles. Amen. That shouldn't be strange, but it's become strange in a lot of places today. Romans chapter 12. Let's pick it up and read a few verses beginning in verse 17. I'll read to the end of the chapter and then I'll probably have you turn some other places. Picking it up in verse 17. Now, Paul, of course, is beseeched us in the first verse to present our body as a living sacrifice, which is a reasonable service. Then he comes down with a lot of instruction to us here. He says in verse 11, not slothful in business. That's common sense. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. In verse 12, rejoicing in hope and patient in tribulation. All of that is great advice. And then verse 17, where I want to start. Recompense to no man, evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. See why the Bible would be such a terrible thing to have in the public schoolroom? Wouldn't it be terrible if you taught kids to be honest? Well, I'm meddling there and I'm getting off track. I just thought about what a harmful book this would be to have in school. Being a little facetious, you understand that, don't you? Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You could underline the word, if it be possible. He's saying, do your best to live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, and that's Deuteronomy 32, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Boy, that one thing there, if we could get a hold of that, it'd sure be helpful, wouldn't it? somebody says, I don't get mad, I just get even. Heard that one? Well, that verse tells you don't do that either. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You say, but it feels so good. Uh-huh. A lot of things that are wrong feel pretty good. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now see, that verse is total opposite of everything the flesh says do. If he thirsts, give him drink. Talk about your enemy now. Then it says, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I always read that verse. I think about the lady, the wife that came to the preacher, and she was telling him how bad her husband was. And wanted to know what to do. And the preacher said, well, have you ever tried to heap coals of fire on his head? You know, the verse here is saying, if he's doing you bad, you do him right, and you're heaping coals of fire on his head, you do him good. She said, no, I've never heaped coals of fire on his head, but I poured hot coffee on him. Is that just as good? Now, that's the human nature we all have. Verse 21, but overcome of evil, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now I want to pick up on the word evil and give you a thought that we don't think about a lot. And the thought is this, there is a difference between sin and evil. Now while evil is sin, there is some sins that personally you would be involved in that might not bring evil on somebody else. Now, I'm not splitting hairs. You got the two different words in the scripture. If God meant them both to be one and the same, they'd be one and the same. But he's got two different words. And I want us to understand that when we do understand it fully, we should hate sin or watch out for sin a little more than maybe we do sometime. I want to define some words. Look back with me right here in verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Now you understand what the word recompense means. It basically means don't return back evil for evil. Recompense means basically giving back. And God is saying, okay, they did you wrong, don't do them wrong back. Now kids can't get a hold of this, right? He hit me first, right? Now we big kids got the same problem. I saw a daddy one time, got several kids, and one of them hit the other one, and there was a fuss going on. And he went up, and he took the other kid's hand that had been hit, and he hit the other kid back with it and said, now how did that feel? Now I understand he was teaching a lesson, but God says, don't do it that way. Don't do it that way. God's saying there's a better way, and that better way just goes contrary as all get out to everything we feel, everything in the flesh, everything seems natural. And we big kids need to pay attention to that. So he's saying here, recompense, we understand it. God is saying leave the vengeance to him. He is saying justice is up to God. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not a pacifist. I have to fight the same battle over this you would. I'm not telling you to raise your kids not to defend themselves, but I am telling you that there's a real lesson here, especially as we get to be bigger kids, that we ought to get a hold of. Now, God is saying leave it to him. See, evil, though, let's understand what evil is. Evil is something that hurts someone. Now, it may hurt you from some other direction, but it may be something you do that ultimately brings evil in that it hurts somebody else. So I'll deal with that just a little bit. I know I used to say this. I was dumb as a brick before I was saved, and so were you. And as a teenager from somewhere around 16, I was saved at 22, and I still lived at home. By the way, I helped pay some of the bills while I was living at home, which kids ought to have to do. Amen. Anyway, till I got saved and got married and moved out. But during the time of hot rod days and all that, and by the way, I'm so glad that the culture then was not as bad as it is today. Had it been, I'd have probably got into it, but it just wasn't even close to the same. And I never got hooked on alcohol. I drank a few beers with my buddies. I always thought it was a waste of money. It didn't taste near as good as iced tea did and cost a lot more. So I never got hooked on it much that way. And yet when I would go out to do my partying in the world and go out with my friends and go out in all my race cars and all that, I would get warnings from Mama and Grandma. Mama could see danger everywhere. Grandma was not quite as bad, but boy, she, you know, she'd have been the best debater, talking about debates. That old lady could, boy, she could out-reason you in a hurry. And so when she'd whip me with words, I'd generally wind up saying something like this: it's my life, leave me alone, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. That's a lie. That's a big con. That's a big falsehood right there. But a lot of folks kind of act like that today. That hurts someone else. Now, generally we speak of people as being, well, he's a good person. You know what we mean by that? We mean he don't harm anybody. We mean he does good to folks. He don't do bad to folks. That's generally the way we will we'll judge that in the common meaning of the word. And that's good. That's the way, as far as daily life, it's good. I'd rather live side of a good person than a bad person, hadn't you? Sure, we understand that. Somebody that's not going to hurt you. But we need to know the difference between sin and evil. Sin can and much of the time is evil. But sin is a transgression of God's law. God said do it, we didn't. That's sin of omission. God said don't do it, we did. That's the sin of commission. And we all have that in our life. Now, I may say this again. All are sinners, we know that. None righteous, no, not one. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Far as your salvation goes, you are a sinner, you need to be saved. Far as you're practicing sin, you may do some things that you may drink, or you may have something that's hurting you personally, health-wise, or something that may not be hurting, being evil to somebody else, except somebody else that loves you cares for the fact that you're doing wrong even to yourself. And we understand that on a practical basis. But knowing the difference between sin and evil is the difference of, is it reaching out? Evil is reaching out and hurting somebody else. Now, evil is progressive. This is the part I want to get if my time allows me this morning. Evil is progressive. It moves along. It grows. All have sinned. Sin is a transgression of God's law. In real fact, you can't live above sin because the flesh is going to think an evil thought. It's going to do something. If it's nothing but laziness, it's still a sin. You understand that? And the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. All of us got we've got that sort of a thing. Harry Arnsides was a great preacher of days gone by, wrote some Bible commentaries, but he belonged to a group in his early years that taught that you can live above sin and never sin. And he knew all the time that was not the Bible as he taught the Bible. And finally, he came out with it because people were just living miserable, doing their best not to, they realized even evil thought was sin. Evil, evil looking on evil could be sin. And so he finally got right on that. He said, I realized all of a sudden, while I did tell folks and believe that I was living, quote, above sin, and I'll get a letter on this. There's folks out there now. I'm amazed how they write me letters about this very thought right here. Yes, you can live above sin. That very letter they're writing has got a big sin in it they're not looking at. It's called pride. Pride. Proverbs 6, a proud look. That's what Arnsides woke up to. He said, I realized I was so proud of the way I live till I was committing a sin with my pride. And in that sense, understand, in the flesh, Paul said, in the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. When I let the flesh have its way a little bit, next thing I know, I'm committing the sin of commission or omission, one or the other. So I'm not talking about that. Don't get me wrong on that. But the difference in sin and evil is this. Sin can progress very quickly into being evil, doing harm to yourself, yes, but mostly to somebody else. Now, I don't want to confuse you on that. For instance, let's count the steps a little bit. I do believe you can come much closer to living above evil than you can above sin. You ought to make a judgment about what am I doing? Is it going to hurt somebody else? How does it hurt somebody else? And if you make that judgment, it'll help you. It'll help you a lot. Let me get you to look at some steps. And we'll use the Bible again. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. I'm talking about evil now. I want you to watch how evil has progressive steps to it. And I don't have mine marked, so look for it. I'm not going to rush to it any faster than you probably. Go to Proverbs. You get to the Psalms, go to your right, and pick up Proverbs. Let's pick it up in chapter 4. Tremendous passage. We'll pick it up in chapter 4, about verse 14. Here's a way to avoid evil, to watch out for evil. Verse 14 of Proverbs 4. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of who? Evil men. Do we tell our kids don't run with the wrong crowd? If you'll think back, much of the trouble you either are in or have gotten in, or your memory that you were in, had to do with the wrong crowd. Now, sometimes you are the wrong crowd. But if you participate with them, you're starting the step, first step right here. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. What? The path. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Verse 15. Verse 16. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. Do you know there's people out there that want to involve you in what they're involved in? I mean, this verse says they'll almost do without sleep, planning to trap you, to get you to go along with it. I am amazed. You've all seen the old drunk, but that stuff tastes so good to him till he wants to put his arm around a sober man and say, hey, have a drink, buddy. Do you know it's not only the drunk that does that? It's the adulterer. It's the liar. It's the thief. Oh, yeah. It is amazing how evil wants to have somebody else participate in it. How it's a good feeling to say I'm not the only one doing it. You ever hear that one? I might go to hell, but I'll have plenty of company. You ever hear that one? Soul winners hear that one. Got news for you, you won't like the company in hell. Bible says there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell. Who's the teeth gnashing on? Each other. I'll get off on that except to say, watch out. It's amazing how evil wants to grab a crowd to participate with it. So I'm back in Proverbs 4. They sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to what? Fall. Boy, that's powerful. Happy to see somebody else join them in the hog pen. Join them in the fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Now watch the opposite, cross the street, opposite thought, verse 18, but, that's what the word but does, takes you over to the other side. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. Now, what I'm making a point here is wickedness, first step, running with the wrong crowd, getting with the wrong crowd, participating with the wrong crowd, joining in with the evil crowd. That's the first step that evil takes. Look at number two, though. The next step, and I'm going to run out of time on this, but next step is they start listening to evil. First, they join the evil crowd. You can't be in an evil crowd without hearing evil. Did you know that? So the next step, logical step, is evil. In the evil crowd, you'll hear evil. If you think back, I heard a preacher say this one time, I think it's true. He said, in my old life of sin, he said, I heard all the filthy talk. He said, I heard all the dirty jokes. He said, today as a preacher, I try to watch out for a clean joke I can tell to help loosen people up. But he said, I have a hard time remembering the clean jokes. But he said, I remember all those old dirty ones from the past. Isn't it amazing how it gets in there and just sticks? You can't clean it out. That's the flesh. That's the way it works. The evil report. And so, the next step of evil, going downward, of course, is listening to the evil report. Now, that's where it becomes evil, because by listening to the evil report, you're listening to a report generally that we in church circles call gossip or backbiting, or sowing discord. That's all Bible stuff. And what does that do? It hurts somebody. That's why it's evil. Evil hurts somebody. Yeah, that's the point to get a hold. Somebody says, I just told the truth. Well, number one, did it hurt somebody? Number two, was it necessary? Somebody gets on a witness stand in court and they have to tell the truth, and that truth they tell may hurt somebody, but that's a case where it must be told. But you know, there's a whole pile of stuff we tell that we don't have to tell. And it's not necessary to tell. And yet it's hurtful to tell it. And so that's what makes it evil. And the sad truth is so many times we repeat it and repeat it, and it grows and it grows, and it grows from the truth to an absolute lie sometimes. How many ever played the little game at some little old Sunday school party or whatever? I've done this in youth groups before. Set them all in a circle of chairs and start out with a little written message on a paper, and then each one whispers it all around the circle, repeat, 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 until it gets back, and look how different it is by the time it gets back to the original note. Well, that's exactly the way it works, folks. And I know I'm harping on this a lot, but that's the way it works on Facebook. That's the way it works on telephone. That's the way it works on the street corner or across the fence or at the job. That's the way it works with teenagers. And by the way, some of y'all need to know something. Teenagers are the biggest gossipers in the world. We think about the old grandma sitting over there talking with the other grandma. No. There's nothing that beats young folks from spreading false rumors. Nothing. You better be aware of that. Anyway, the evil report starts listening. First step, get with that crowd. Second step, listen to that crowd. Third step, it talks about creating an evil heart. You know, if you put something dirty in a clean container, that container is going to become dirty. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 3, and you can find that all right. Jeremiah chapter 3, I think I'm thinking about the right verse. I haven't looked at it recently, I'll be honest, but let me see if it's the one I'm thinking about. Go to Jeremiah chapter 3. I'm going to pick it up in verse 17. Okay, it'll do. 3 verse 17. At that time, this is prophecy now. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. That's good when he comes back. All the nations shall be gathered unto it. That's future. That's the millennial reign of Christ. To the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, neither, now here's the negative, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their what kind of heart? Evil heart. Now, that verse contains in it the kingdom age. When somebody says, I said the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. Well, that's the kingdom it's talking about when Jesus comes back on earth and rules. And in that kingdom, they'll no longer walk after the imagination of their evil heart. But right now they do. That kingdom's not here yet. He's not on the throne in Jerusalem yet. So in the meantime, watch out for the evil heart. So step one is to get with that wrong crowd. Next step down, listen to that wrong crowd. Next step down, fill your heart with that evil report. That's what it's talking about. Imagination of an evil heart. Create an evil heart from that. Now, that progresses to evil speaking, which brings much hurt. Go with me to 1 Peter. I believe that's where I want to go. 1 Peter chapter 4. And you get to the book of James, go to your right. 1 Peter chapter 4. I think I'm looking for verse 4. Yes, that'll do. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. I'd like for you to look at the verse if you can flip to it real quick. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. Now, who's this talking about? It's talking about the evil crowd you started partying with, and then you started listening to, and then you started repeating. So he says here in verse 4, that crowd, when you quit them, when you won't participate anymore, when you won't listen to that dirty joke, when you won't listen to that gossip, when you won't join in, they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. What are they going to do then? Here's a good one. Speaking evil of you. Did you know that some of the worst gossipers gossip about the one that they tell other stuff to? It is a vicious circle. It is amazing. This old depravity of the flesh is something else. We call it two-faced. Do you understand everybody is two-faced? You do, don't you? You don't believe that? Well, smile. That's the second face right there. Truth of the matter is you've got more than one face. You got a bunch of them. We're all more than two-faced. But when we speak of being two-faced, we speak of talking this way, and then when they leave, you talk about them. That's human, and it happens. Boy, does it happen. So I'm talking to you about how sin progresses to it becomes evil. That's why God not only listed sin in the book, he listed evil in the book. Evil can come on down to where it's hurting somebody, wrongfully so, and causes the one that's doing the hurt to certainly be judged of God. So it can progress to evil, and evil then is speaking, and speaking can be hurt. You ever hear the little cute saying kids have? What is it? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You ever hear that one? That's a lie. That's a lie. Sure, words hurt you. And they stick in there and they hurt worse than a bruise from a stone that may heal up. There's folks walking around with bruised hearts that's never, ever healed up. Never got it right. And it came from, most of the time, from words. From words. So we got to watch out on that business, folks. Now, it progresses to speaking out, speaking hurt. And then it becomes, finally, and I've been going down some steps, and I guess this would be about the fifth step. Finally, it progresses to the evil of speaking out, and then finally, it becomes our walk. And our walk's not whether we're walking with a physical limp or not. It's talking about our citizenship, our deportment. It's talking about who we are as we walk through life. So finally, our walk, we can become as an evildoer. Look again, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, pick it up with me in verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now here's instruction, how to stay right. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief. Boy, we'd all condemn that, wouldn't we? Or as an evildoer. You're not going to like this next one. Same list, same verse. Or as a busybody in other men's matters. I didn't write it. There it is. Same list. God, what do you mean? You're talking about a murderer and a thief and an evildoer. And wait a minute. A busybody? We know what a busybody is, don't we? Somebody messing with somebody else's business. Oh, this Bible will cut you up if you read it. It'll help you, though. It'll do surgery on you that you need. It sure will. And there's one right there. There's one that'll really help you if you can get a hold of that. A good little question sometime to ask yourself, is this any of my business? I grew up in a family, I said, with a mother and a grandma, and my dad was slower to speak, and boy, he meant it when he spoke, though, but I'd hear grandma and mama, and of course, my brother and I, we carried on a continuous argument over something. But we were real quick to say, that's none of your business. Say, that's not good talk. Well, we had it. And some of you had it. Whether you said it or not, you thought it. But by the way, sometimes it's true. And as we get older, we still love to hear the garbage. We still love to meddle with that. Sometimes it's plainly none of our business. And the Bible condemns it, being a busy body. And it's just some deep stuff that we ought to get hold of. How sin can become evil. All evil is sin in a sense, but evil then is where sin progresses to hurt and damage, and we have to watch out for it, folks. We'll be a part of it before we know it. And we may find out later and grieve over it. I got 2 minutes. I'm gonna tell this. When I was in the fifth grade, possibly the sixth grade, they've torn the building down now that we were in right over here, but over across from the one that's still standing. Kids have little popular groups. Kids can be so cruel to each other. And you parents need to stay out of kids' business sometimes and not believe everything the kid comes home and tells you. Amen. But in that particular day, the little group, a few girls and boys that was we kind of palled around, and we thought we might be a little hot shot, a little better than some of the rest or something. I remember this very pretty girl, very popular girl. She got something against another girl. You know what kids will do? They will go one to another to enlist them on their side. Now look at me. Do you know any adults that do that? Go around to see who I can get on my side. So all day or two at school, this one pretty popular girl went to the rest of us. And she badmouthed another girl. Just another common student. A little bit shy, the other girl was. A little bit just withdrawn. So guess what all the gang did? Now, I'm ashamed of this. That's why I still remember it. We also went to the girl and said some bad things to her. And a few days later, I found out those things were not true at all. And till this day, 100 years ago, it's still in my head and mind how bad we did that other girl on somebody else's say-so. I'm talking about fifth grade. And you know what? I've seen that happen, and as I got in the ministry, I've seen it happen over. The only redeeming thing I can say about that is I do remember going to the girl that I had badmouthed and telling her I was sorry. You know why I did that? Because the teacher told me to? Nope. Because something inside said you'd done a wrong thing, and I didn't have no peace about it until I went back. But see, I still don't have full peace about it. Even though I graduated with that girl and she would have considered me a friend and even come heard me preach a time or two since I've been in Haines City, but still there, because I've done wrong. And the Holy Spirit will get a hold of you if you're saved, and he'll grieve you about that stuff. And you going to get any peace about it at all, you better go to the one you done wrong and tell them about it and ask forgiveness. So I couldn't do that. Well, just go ahead and be miserable with it then. Just go ahead and be miserable, and then look out, because there's such a thing as sowing and reaping. And it may come your way. It just may whirl around and get you. Things have a way of doing that. All right, time's up. Choir needs to go out and come in.